A 16-year-old boy and a 5-year-old girl are recovering in the hospital after a drive-by shooting in Durham. WREL's breaking news tracker is live on the scene talking to neighbors in this community about the violence that occurs here.
We love her.
The man who hit and killed a 10-year-old girl nearly 3 years ago here in Harnett County pled guilty this morning. Why the family says they have peace, even though they believe the sentence was not enough.
The timeline for skyrocketing temperatures closing in on 80 degrees. And I'll show you which day this weekend is trending drier.
We are coming on the air with developing news in Durham. This is a live look from Sky 5 near the Oxford Manor Apartments. Police tell us someone shot a teenager and a child. Officers responded around 3 this afternoon. Thanks for being with us tonight. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. So here is what we know so far this evening. The children who were shot were 16 and 5 years old. We know they're in the hospital and fortunately expected to survive. Police believe that this was a drive-by shooting.
WREL's Willie Danley joining us live now at the scene. Willie, do investigators have any information about the suspect here?
No, Ashley, Durham police have not released any of that information to us just yet, but I can tell you that this scene has cleared. This scene was extremely active earlier today with investigators blocking off the entrance to this neighborhood and marking numerous shell casings on the ground. Take a look at this video that we captured when we got here. You can see just how large of a presence it was here. I counted around 11 cones marking shell casings found on the ground here. According to Durham police, they got the call for this shooting around 2:50. When they got here, they found that 16-year-old boy and the 5-year-old girl with injuries. Both of them were taken to the hospital. As Dan said, investigators believe that it was a car driving past this apartment complex that those shots were fired out of. I spoke to a man who lives here at Oxford Manor, and he tells me that this is an extremely unfortunate situation. But he says that this happens a lot in this community.
Man, it's often, man. It's every day. Every day. I seen this in the mat, this right here. Everywhere. It's everywhere, man. You know what I'm saying?
We've reached out to Durham police to see if they have any more information about this shooting, if they have any suspects or any persons of interest. We're going to get those answers and keep you updated both online and on air. Back to you, Ashley.
That's just absolutely senseless. 16 and 5 years old. Willie Danley reporting live in Durham. Thank you.
It was a heart-wrenching day for a Harnett County family. They relive the moments that their little girl died. Today, a man pleaded guilty in the death of 10-year-old Danae Allen. You may remember this story. It was 3 years ago that she ran across the street chasing her family dog. A moment later, a drunk driver hit and killed her. That driver, Ronald Fox, took a plea deal. WREL's Brett Neese was inside the courtroom this morning and spoke with Danae's family shortly after.
Today's hearing lasted just a little over an hour, but it was full of emotion inside that courthouse where Danae Allen's family says they forgive the man who took her life. Dressed in pink and black shirts with the words, "Justice for Danae," her family walked out of the Harnett County Courthouse feeling just about every emotion possible.
I don't know what I was expecting, but it was certainly not probation.
I spoke with Dennis Moore and other family members after the hearing. They shared with me dozens of pictures of Danae. Through tears, three of her aunts spoke directly to Ronnie Fox during the hearing, letting him know the agony they felt over the last 1,065 days. I also spoke with her grandmother.
I miss her as my swimming partner. She helped make drip castles with her cousin, so we miss that. I can't go to the beach without always shedding a few tears.
This is the guilty plea Fox agreed to. The charge, involuntary manslaughter. Fox didn't say much to the family when given the chance, other than that he was sorry and he would take that day back if he could. He received 30 months probation with credit for time already served.
We know that she is so much better off, but we're just still here and it hurts.
The family put together this slideshow to play in court today. It shows Danae's life from beginning to end.
I wish we had a lifetime more. And I think I've learned that you gotta cherish those hugs. Selfishly, we want her back.
Even though her life was cut short, it was a life full of joy and happiness with memories this family will cherish forever.
We'll see her again. We'll see her again. Until then, we just miss and love her.
Fox never looked away while that slideshow played today. Under his plea agreement, four other charges were dismissed. In Harnett County, Brett Neese, WRL News.
Jury deliberations are now underway in a murder trial we have been telling you about for more than a week now. The case of Christina Matos, the NC State student killed in 2021. Her husband of 5 days, Eric Hernandez Mendez, charged with her murder. Prosecutors saying he's a liar and would lie under oath to save himself. Like me, you probably don't spend much time in courtrooms. The majority of your courtroom experience is probably what you see in TV shows. Well, what we saw today during closing arguments was like something out of a primetime drama. The defendant's own attorney called him an idiot and useless. Take a look.
No offense to my client, but in terms of how good an accessory after the fact to murder he is, he's terrible. Absolutely terrible. He had no clue what he's doing. He couldn't clean that thing up. I mean, it's just, he was absolutely useless. And then he's gathering all this stuff of Kaylee's to throw away, stuff of his to throw away. Hopefully they won't find this stuff that I'm just throwing in my own trash chute. I mean, does he think the police are idiots? Well, if he had the murder weapon, don't you think he would have thrown it down that chute as well?
The defendant's attorney trying to convince the jury that their roommate actually killed Matos and that Hernandez Mendez helped clean up the mess. The jury could reach a verdict as early as tomorrow morning.
So here's a headline you didn't see on nightly news, but we think it's important and you should know about it. Republican Congressman Ken Buck announced he will step down from his position at the end of next week. Buck is known as a more moderate Republican. He's one of only four Republicans representing Colorado in the House. The reason this is significant, the GOP majority is now down to just two members, which could make advancing their agenda more difficult.
What do you think about the candidates for North Carolina governor? We asked about 600 voters statewide in our latest exclusive news poll, which you'll only see on WREL. Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie found the race pretty much a tie, and independent voters will play a major role come November.
Democrat Josh Stein and Republican Mark Robinson are facing off in what could be the closest governor's race in the country. We asked likely North Carolina voters how they see the two candidates. When it comes to Stein, 37% see him favorably, while 18% see him unfavorably. A third of voters don't really have an opinion of him yet. Robinson also has 37% favorability, but his unfavorables are higher at 28%. One quarter of voters don't yet have an opinion about him. Western Carolina political scientist Chris Cooper says they're pretty closely matched.
If the Democrats are trying to paint Robinson in an unfavorable light or paint him as the kind of candidate who says outlandish things, it doesn't seem like it's stuck, at least not yet.
We also asked about each candidate's biggest perceived weakness. For Robinson, his controversial comments about women, the Jewish community, and LGBTQ people. And for Stein, his refusal to defend laws he said were unconstitutional concerning voter ID and abortions. Each party's voters generally supported their nominee, but the independent voters who will likely decide this close race perceive them differently. 50% of independent voters said Robinson's controversial comments made them less likely to vote for him. 6% said they made them more likely, and 25% said they wouldn't matter. Meantime, 31% said Stein's refusal to defend some laws made them less likely to vote for him, but 21% said it made them more likely, and 28% said it wouldn't matter.
The comments that Robinson has made, I mean, they make national headlines, let's be honest. Josh Stein's refusal to or unwillingness to defend some laws passed by Republican lawmakers is probably actually going to be kind of liked by about half of this state of North Carolina.
Laura Leslie, WRAL News, Raleigh.
We reached out to both campaigns for comment. The WRAL News poll was conducted for us by SurveyUSA in the past week. We also asked hundreds of people which issues are most important when they vote. Tomorrow, what topped the list and how that impacts WRAL's election coverage in the months ahead.
Oh, I loved all the emails we got last night. That doctored photo from the Princess of Wales is still getting a lot of buzz, and you have a lot to say about it. Now, I thought I explained how I think this story really isn't just about the royals, or really has nothing to do with the royals. It's something deeper. Up next, we share your messages from the inbox as we go back in depth.
Then, as the ACC men's tournament gets underway, we get a recap of tonight's NC State game and take a look back at the very first ACC tournament. Kat?
And we're looking at a much warmer week. We've got a couple of 80-degree days coming up. I'll let you know when we'll dip back into the 30s, though, coming up.
Let's go in depth, shall we, and go into the mailbag tonight, because we got lots of emails after our story on the doctored photo posted by the Princess of Wales. Princess Kate admitting to editing this Mother's Day photo, and the news organizations all over the world pulling it from their websites because it wasn't an authentic image of the family. I mentioned that I thought it was a little strange that the royal family, who has an employee for just about everything, is also notoriously very careful with their image, and they do not have someone to check these types of pictures or to help with the Photoshop. Monica wrote in and said, "You apparently do not do your homework, because if you had, you'd know that Kate has been taking photos of her family from day one. Next time you go on a tirade about how the royals live, you should do your due diligence." To be fair, Monica, that was not a tirade. If you want to see me go on a tirade, bring up how Margot Robbie got snubbed from the Oscars. I don't even want to get into it. I also mentioned that I didn't realize that the Brits actually celebrated Mother's Day on March 10th. And Nigel, who you guessed it, is British, said Mother's Day or Mothering Sunday is the same day each year in UK, fourth Sunday in Lent. Please correct yourself next time you are on screen. So here we are. Put me on screen. Am I up? Am I on screen? What Nigel said. But most of the feedback I got looked like this. Scott said, "I must say, who cares?" Kathy said, "Who hasn't doctored or cleaned up a picture that they have taken? This is a storm in a teacup." And Jerry said, "With all the crap going on in the U.S., I'm going to paraphrase his just a bit here. He basically says, also, who cares? To this, I couldn't disagree more. And I'll tell you why. You see, this story isn't about the Princess of Wales making some mistakes on Photoshop. I tried to explain that in more detail last night, but perhaps I didn't do it well enough, so I'll try again. And start with this email I got from Ken. He said, "Images have been doctored since the beginning of photography," and he is exactly right. I mean, here's a picture from the 1860s of Abraham Lincoln with his head cropped onto the body of John C. Calhoun. Or this famous photo of General Grant in the Civil War that was actually a compilation of three separate photos. The man on the horse was a different person entirely. It happens all the time, still to this day. You know this. This fake shark photo was first published in an African Nation magazine and went viral. I remember seeing it on the air on the news when I was living in San Diego. It's actually the same shark that fooled Senator Ted Cruz into reposting a picture on Twitter years later. And how about this picture of me at the beach? Well, this looks entirely real and 100% authentic. You may have never actually guessed, but there was really a large boat in the background that was cropped out. Again, who cares? Well, because pictures tell stories. And sometimes those stories really matter. This heartbreaking image of a child sleeping between the shallow graves of his parents, who were killed in the brutal fighting during a civil war in Yemen, went viral. First, because of the startling image of the toll of war. Then it went viral again because it was revealed to be a fake and part of an art project. I should mention also that this was done without any editing at all to that photo, because again, it's not about the image or the Photoshop, it's about the story. And while the internet has proven to be a place for this type of misleading content to run wild, it has also become a place where it's held in check. I mean, we should mention that it was internet sleuths who first spotted the problems with this photo. Only then did the legacy media adjust their coverage. The internet is like the Wild West, but with a lot of sheriffs who have done a great job of calling out fake content, for now. The introduction of AI and the growth that we have seen, it's already on the verge of making original content, photos and videos that are indistinguishable from the real thing. Last year, the New York Times published an article asking people to guess between a real photo and an AI-generated photo. Take a look at some of these. Take a long look. Can you tell the difference? This is where we are now. Think about where we are headed, and soon. How long until the best internet sheriffs in town can't tell the difference between what is real and what is not? And then think about the stories people will try to tell you. That's why it matters to me. Tell me what you think. Email me at dan@wrl.com. We are currently working on several stories based on your feedback and emails and ideas, so please keep them coming. dan@wrl.com. Tell us what's on your mind, and we'll go in depth.
It sure is scary what artificial intelligence can do. Over here in the WRAL Weather Center with Kat Campbell, a beautiful shot tonight of Pinehurst. Just an absolutely magnificent day. A little bit jealous of these guys. I'm sure they're better golfers than I am, though.
You know, they are having the time of their lives. It's a gorgeous evening. Oh, yeah. All week long, if you want to play a round of golf, go ahead and do it. I would say Friday, if you can get your tee time earlier in the day, you're going to be better off. But it's really going to be a great golf week in Pinehurst. You can see a gorgeous sunset. We're loving the later sunsets. Thursday and Friday, we'll have a little bit more of a breeze. So maybe if you're still feeling confident, you can book a tee time those days with the wind out of the southwest. Tonight, we've got a great International Space Station pass. Look to the southwest at 8:52. The ISS is going to be visible for 3 minutes. Always cool to step outside and check this out with your family. Temperatures are going to be in the upper 50s at that time. And maybe a good night to do a fire pit outside and then look up for the ISS. 58 degrees at 9 o'clock. By 11 o'clock, we're down to 52. Not as chilly tonight. This morning, we woke up to temperatures in the mid-30s. And then this afternoon, we were in the mid-70s. A huge jump throughout the day. Tomorrow morning, we're going to be in the 40s for most of us. The one exception would be Roxborough in the upper 30s to start the day tomorrow. And then temperatures just keep warming up. We're in the mid to upper 70s tomorrow. Looking ahead to Thursday, we expect to hit the 80s again. Thursday should be the warmest day of the week. We're forecasting 81 in Raleigh and Fayetteville, much of the southern half of our area, 76 in Roxborough, 79 in Rocky Mount. And Friday, we should be back near 80 in the Triangle, but we could see a few showers and storms move in later in the day into the evening. Still expecting a big warm up before any chance of rain would arrive. Part of that due to our wind picking up out of the southwest, and that gives us that warming wind. But changes are coming next week, so don't put away your winter coats just yet. We're going to be cooling back off into the 30s likely for lows next week. The long range temperature outlook, March 18th through the 22nd, above normal out west and in the east, including the southeast and North Carolina, below normal temperatures. Keep in mind this time of year, when we get to this time, the blue doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be cold. It means it's going to be below normal, and the darker shade means higher confidence. So to put that into perspective for you, what is normal?
NC State moving to the next round of the ACC men's tournament. They got the win against Louisville this afternoon, 94-85.
Must-win situation. We got a quick recap now coming from WRL's Casey Hintz, who joins us live in Washington, D.C. Casey.
Yeah, guys, you know what Kevin Keats said after this game? If you would have told me that we would score 94 points without DJ Horn, well, he wouldn't have believed you, of course. Their leading scorer out tonight's game with a hip flexor injury that he suffered in the regular season finale. But boy, they had everyone in this team stepping up and, as I say, survive in advance. Let's take a look at some of the highlights. There is DJ Horn on the bench. All he can do is look on in this one. And early, it was the Cardinals because Sky Clark could not miss. He had 36 points, 7 3-pointers. But then the Pack defense clamped down. They had 12 steals in this one. Jaden Taylor, 18 points on the night, coming up big with those steals. Meanwhile, DJ Burns coming out of the half, 6 early points. That gave the Pack their first lead, and they wouldn't look back. Casey Morcell, he's from the area. He had 25 points. They needed that big game from him tonight as the Pack move on. 94-85 the final.
But everybody's got to step up. When you lose a guy who can score the basketball the way he does, I would have never guessed that we would score 94 points without DJ Horn, but we did. I thought everybody was aggressive. You know, Casey Morcell had a little bit to do with it. But, you know, without him, we have to have a little bit more player and ball movement. We're running more plays. He's really the guy that can kind of create for himself. But with everybody else, we're trying to get everybody involved.
So the Pack will play tomorrow against Syracuse. It's a 7 p.m. tip. Keith said it's good that they've got a late tip. They're going to get back to the hotel, get some treatments, and start preparing for tomorrow night's.
A little bit of rest and back at it. Casey Hinch, thanks for the update. Hey, before we go tonight, the start of this year's ACC tournament got us thinking about the first ACC tournament. So, you know, we did the Battle of the Blues last week. Why not keep the basketball theme going?
Call it your moment of nostalgia here at 7 o'clock. The very, very first ACC men's tournament was in 1954, held in Raleigh at Reynolds Coliseum. NC State beat Wake Forest in the final. We found this photo of the team in the NC State Library Archives.
They were coached by the legendary Everett Case. His team won the first three ACC tournaments. You might not remember this team, you might not remember these games, but you definitely have seen their banners hanging at PNC Arena.
Thanks for making WRAL your choice for local news. Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL.
We'll see you then. Have a great night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.